morning and welcome to our divine service for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. Our order of service comes from Divine Service Setting 3 on page 184. And in our announcement, we need someone with a truck or trailer to assist in moving some items out of the vicarage. There's a few things that have been gathering dust there that we want to take to the dump. We'd be more than happy to have the church reimburse you for the dumping fee. And we have the elder of the announcements.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Vicar. Yeah, just to add on a few announcements that are in the bulletin that you'll see to call your attention to. In addition to the disposal of some of those items, we also have a vicarage house cleaning session coming up. That would be July the 13th. That evening, if you're interested, we need a lot of helping hands and to prepare the vicar turnover. So go ahead and reach out with that. Also, a little bit sooner is today we're having a voters meeting. So please stick around if you can. All members that are at least 18 years or older can stick around, participate in the meeting. We're going to have the election of the new board members and officers. So really important at noon, finishing this service up. There's also several service opportunities that we can all get involved with. We need a substitute secretary and a substitute janitor for upcoming pair of vacation weeks that Bill and Jackie have coming up. So that week of September the 15th through September the 22nd, I know it's still far out, but if you're interested in being the substitute janitor or the substitute secretary, please reach out to Jackie on that. There's also opportunities to serve with the altar and sacristy care. Volunteers, taking care of the supplies for communion, preparing it each Sunday, all of those sorts of things. If you're interested in that, Darlene Franklin is the point person, so you can contact her, and they need at least a couple of helpers for that. Also, the nursery needs helpers. So the nursery needs several volunteers to get a rotation going. Until they get up to that point where they have several volunteers that they can rotate around through, we're not going to be able to offer the nursery services during the Sunday morning activities. Last but not least, we have the Vicar Roast coming up. So this is exciting, right? I know at least one person is excited. I'm excited. So the tradition, around Trinity is we have a Vicar Roast send off with some laughs and some warm thoughts. So July 11th is going to be that Vicar Roast also at a noon time slot.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. We stand and face the processional cross as we sing hymn 803. Please stand.
Our son for
beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God, our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
We sing the introit for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost on our insert. The hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Oh,
earthly ministry, your Son, Jesus, healed the sick and raised the dead. By the healing medicine of the Word and sacraments, pour into our hearts such love toward you that we may live eternally. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion. According to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 30 in the front of our hymnals responsibly by whole verse. Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored my life from among those who go down to the pit. Favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
Bless for me, your saving my prosperity. I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy, and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in your our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia in verse. Those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If I touch even his garment, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowds pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace, and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him.
except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside, and took the child's father and mother, and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately, the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the Gospel of the Lord. He confessed the Apostles' Creed, page 192.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand.
Be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was reading a journal article recently that talked about how in ancient Greece, people were not allowed to have their funerals in the temple.
and priests would not attend the funeral, because it was believed that if the priest came in the presence of a dead person, they and the gods would be defiled. And as a result, the funerals could happen just about anywhere else, but not in the temple. Today's text presents us with a slightly different image. It is true that when someone was impure, they weren't able to participate in synagogue or temple worship. And that is why we see the issue presented here. The one woman in the text cannot participate in the worship life of Israel because she is ritually impure due to her issue of blood, as we read in Leviticus 15. And the second woman, the young child, is impure and cannot enter the temple or the synagogue because she is dead. And in accordance with Numbers 19, she is also impure. And anyone who touches either of them will be rendered unclean. But, unlike the ancient Greek gods, Jesus does not turn away from them. Jesus is not ashamed by death, nor is he made impure by death. Jesus confronts death head on and heals these two women so that they can participate in the worship life of Israel. And our Lord himself even tastes death by going to the cross, being buried in the tomb, and rising again, so that all who believe in him might be restored. Because Jesus is the author and restorer of life. We will see Jesus' work of restoration in today's text. First, we will reflect on the fact that the women in today's text were cut off from the worship life of Israel. Then, we will meditate on how Jesus restores both women's physical and spiritual life. And finally, we will see how Jesus' faithfulness is demonstrated and how he restores the life of his people. The women in today's text were cut off from the worship life of Israel. Both women in today's text have a problem. Both of them are ritually unclean. The first woman who touches the hem of Jesus' garment is ritually unclean because of her issue of blood. She is a woman who had this problem for 12 years. Who suffered much under many physicians, but spent all she had, and was no better, but even grew worse. She went from doctor to doctor and spent her life savings trying to be healed, but none of them could save her. Her situation must have seemed hopeless. It may have felt like there was no chance for physical or spiritual renewal. The other thing we see in today's text is that this woman is slowly dying. As we read in Leviticus 17, the life is in the blood. Their issue of blood demonstrates that she is slowly climbing her way to death. She is in need of restoration and new life. The daughter of the ruler of the synagogue is in a similar situation. When we first hear about her, she is only sick, but she is to the point of death. She is also in need of restoration. When we hear that she dies. And so she also is ritually and ceremonially unclean. According to Numbers 19:11, whoever touches a human corpse will be unclean for 7 days. Neither woman is able to enter the worship life of Israel. But Jesus restores both women's physical and spiritual life. And that's the first remarkable thing we see in today's text. The woman who touches the hem of Jesus' garment demonstrates a boldness of faith. The text tells us that she saw Jesus and was filled with hope. She knew that once she was healed, she would go and wash herself. Then she would wait 7 days, go to the priest, and offer a pigeon as a sacrifice. And then after all of that was completed, she would be considered clean and able to return to the community of Israel, to the worship life of the synagogue and the temple. While all of the doctors had failed her, she knew that Jesus was able to do what none of them could do. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." Her faith was remarkable. She knew that that was all she had to do be healed. However, there's still a problem in her mind. She was ashamed. She didn't want anyone who had gathered around Jesus, let alone Jesus himself, to know that she was going to touch Jesus and be healed. She didn't want anyone to see the richly impure woman. And so she goes up behind Jesus and touches the back of the hem of his garment and is healed. But Jesus perceives that the woman has been healed. And he does not want her to get away unnoticed. He does not want her to leave with the weight of her shame bearing in her life. And so she had touched Jesus and was healed. And Jesus cried out that someone had touched her. His disciples, of course, are confused. There's a crowd all around him, and he's saying that someone touched him? Of course someone touched him. What is his point? But Jesus would not let her get away. And so he looks around in the crowd and finds the woman. And the woman comes forward, knowing what had happened to her. She came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Even though she was healed, she was still afraid and ashamed. She did not want anyone to see her. The shame of her illness and impurity had consumed her over the last 12 years. Jesus, however, loved her and raised her up. There is not one word of blame or reproach, but only words to lift her up. His action in making the woman known was taken for her sake, for the sake of those who are gathered and thronging around him. Jesus is the first priest that the woman sees after she is healed. And he doesn't tell her to wash herself. He doesn't say she has to wait 7 days. He doesn't wait for her to bring a pigeon as a sacrifice. He simply declares that she is purified and the beloved child of God. He says, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Jesus calms her fears, lifts her up as an example of faith, and declares her as a purified and beloved child of God. He says, "Go in peace. You do not have to carry your shame and guilt anymore. Be healed of your disease." And this is when our narrative returns. In case we forgot, Jairus was standing off to the side. He was caught up in the commotion of Jesus and the woman. And he is standing waiting to see if Jesus will make it to his house before his daughter dies. And then people come to him with the horrifying news that his daughter had in fact died. And so they say, "Why trouble the teacher any further?" In their mind, Jesus was something of a last-ditch effort. The one you go to when everything else seems hopeless, and you think, maybe there's a chance he could do something. If not, at least we try. But now, since his daughter is beyond healing, the friends think that Jairus should just go on his way and forget about the situation. He should go home. He should mourn. And then after mourning, he should go about his life without his daughter. However, Jesus demonstrates that that will not be the case. The first thing that Jesus shows is that he doesn't wait for someone to be able to come to him to heal them. He doesn't say, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your loss. I'll tell you what. If one of you is willing to risk becoming ritually unclean, why don't you carry the daughter here and I'll heal her?" No, he calls Jairus and his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and has them follow him to Jairus' house. It is as if he was saying, "You may think that death has the final word, but I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even though he die. I am willing and able to heal your daughter, so do not be afraid." Jesus is not deterred by death. He does not turn away from death. And so this text offers us comfort. When there are times that we cannot come to church due to illness or some other problem that hinders us from coming in person, our Lord comes to us. He enters through our doors, through the faithful ministry of faithful pastors who come and preach the word to us and bring us the sacrament. He comes to us in friends and family that demonstrate their love to us. Jesus doesn't stand off in the distance. He comes right into our homes and says, I am with you. Do not be afraid. I will not. I have not forsaken you. Jesus had heard the friends of the ruler of the synagogue say not to bother him. But this is the second thing Jesus demonstrates. He demonstrates that he is not deterred by death and he will overcome death. And so he says, do not fear, only believe. The Greek in our text tells us that Jesus is speaking in the continuous tense. He isn't telling Jairus to start believing. He is telling Jairus to continue believing. He is saying, you believe that I could heal your daughter before, so don't stop believing now. I was able to heal your daughter when she was at the point of death, and I, as the resurrection and life, can heal her now. And so, he knows that Jairus has heard this news, that he may lose hope, and that he is at the point of despair. But Jesus is telling him not to be afraid. And so he goes to Jairus' house with Jairus, Peter, James, and John. And he confronts the people who are weeping and says, do not weep, for the child is not dead. She is only sleeping. And of course the people laugh at her, at him, because she is clearly dead. But Jesus is demonstrating a truth. He isn't saying that the child has gone into a coma and only needs to be roused from it. He is saying that the child is in fact dead, but for those who believe in him, death is temporary. And Jesus is the one who overcomes that death. And so he goes into the house. He grabs the child by the hand and says, I say to you, or little girl, I say to you, arise. And Jesus' word and touch restore the child to new life. Because Jesus' salvation and restoration are established by his incarnation. And he invites the child back into the worship life of Israel, into the covenant community of God. Jesus' word and touch restore. Because Jesus' faithfulness is seen in how he restores the life of his people. In the same way that Jesus raised the child from the dead, our Lord continues to raise us from the dead. St. Paul says in Ephesians, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, so that in the coming of ages, he might sow the immeasurable riches of his grace and the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Unlike the ancient Greek gods, Jesus doesn't hide from death. He entered the world and took our griefs, shame, and sin upon himself and bore it to the cross. He bore the reproaches of people who smacked him in the face, who spit in his face, who disrobed him and beat him and mocked him and led him to the cross. So that on the cross he could bear the shame of his people, of people like the woman with the issue of blood. He was crucified and made a mockery before the eyes of the whole world, so that he could carry our shame and sin and death and nail it to the tree. Jesus doesn't keep death away from him. He confronts death face to face, so that by his death, he might trample death by death. And so that by his resurrection, we might receive the promise that we will rise again with him. And so we can confess the words that we heard in our reading from Lamentations, that our Lord is compassionate and faithful, because the Lord's acts of mercy indeed do not end, for his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Pray. Is your faithfulness. That is what we see in both of the healing accounts in today's gospel. Jesus restored both women through physical means of his touch and expands his work. And our Lord continues to use physical means to heal us. He uses his word in the water of holy baptism to raise us to new life. In that water, and as we come out to it, it is as if he were saying, "Little child, I say to you, arise. My child, go in peace and be healed of your disease." And that is why he gave his church the gift of holy baptism, that when we come out of the waters, we can know that we have been restored in him. We may not receive physical healing in this life, but we know that since we have been baptized into Christ, when Christ comes again to restore the living and the dead, he will raise us to be with him in the imperishable and the incorruptible bodies. Jesus continues to restore life through his word, which is connected to that very real death and resurrection. And just as he raised the child from the dead, when he commanded that she be given something to eat, he gives us the food of immortality in his body and blood at the Lord's altar, so that we can be sustained by the feast of his body and blood. Because, as we read in Leviticus 17, the life is in the blood. We find the life in Christ's very blood, which was poured out on the cross for us. And now, we too can go in peace, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, and we have been healed of our disease and sin. Because Jesus is the one who came to restore life to his creation. And when he restored the two women in our text to new health, he did that so that they could participate in the community of faith, the worship life, the people of God, and so that they could receive our Lord's gifts. The woman was ashamed to be seen, but our Lord lifted her up by her healing and sent her away with peace, saying, "Daughter, go in peace. Your faith has saved you." And in the same way, our Lord continues to come to us, restore us, and bring us into the covenantal relationship with him and with the people of God. Our Lord lifts us up from the dead and calls us his beloved children. So let us praise Jesus, the restorer of life. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Stand and sing the offertory on page 192. the church, we stand to pray. Let us pray. O Lord, from whom our help comes, you have brought us into your holy Christian church and made Christ our shield from every enemy. Preserve us in such faith until at last you bring us out of this world in the resurrection forevermore. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Father, you have shown to your church the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who for our sakes became poor, that by his poverty we might become rich. Give us generous hearts that our abundance may supply our fellow saints in their need. Let our preachers serve for the sake of Christ's call, not for earthly gain, and let those who have received excellence in faith, speech, knowledge, and every other gift of God's word provide richly for the preaching of the gospel and the work of the church. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, your compassion does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men, but your mercies are new every morning. Bestow your steadfast love on every Christian home. Turn parents in kindness to their children. Make children ready in obedience and love toward their parents and each other. Let the young learn discipline and trust in you. And let fathers not exasperate their children, but be devoted to the fear and instruction of the Lord, as examples to them. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, be with the governing authorities and enable them to preserve peace and order in our nation. Hear our prayers for our president and governor, those who serve in the military, especially Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin, Ricardo Batonga, Kevin Stevenson, Danny Green, and Courtney Tate. And be with the police and other civil servants. Increase the spirit of unity and cooperation among the people of our land and the nations of the world. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, restorer and giver of life, we thank you for all those who celebrate their birthdays and baptisms this week. Robert Bruckner, Joanne McGuire, Susie Ramsey, Aspen Sepulveda, Joel Anderson, Ken Ortgees, Leroy Hartman, Kevin Weber, Pat Ortgees, Ashley Taff, Korea Camu, Jennifer Barefoot, and Malachi Camu. Bless and preserve them as they give thanks to you for another year of life, for the salvation you brought to them in the waters of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have established the holy estate of marriage as a reflection of your Son's love for the church. Be with all who celebrate their anniversaries this week. Joel and Barbara Anderson, Lauren and Sandy Dunaway, Stephen and Elizabeth Ament, David and Kim Sewell, Kim and Candy Darmody, enable them to rejoice on the day of their anniversary, and to love and honor each other all the days of their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, you make known the good news of peace through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless and direct the work of our missionaries, including Tom and Debbie Goey, as they serve as missionaries in Japan, that in every nation there would be people who fear God, do what is right, and believing in Jesus, receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you did not turn aside the bold request of Jairus, nor the timid faith of the woman. We implore you to hear our prayers for those in need. Drive away our fears and give us believing faith. Give healing and strength to the sick and suffering, especially Jay Gallagher, Michael Eisenbrun, Candy Darmody, Don Riley, Jill Tarver, John Jarby, Jerry Lichtenberg, and Wayne Grisowski. Give comfort to those who mourn in the knowledge that Christ has destroyed death, and all who die in him are only sleeping, until you awaken them at the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father,
Sustain and bless our church's many ministries, including the Early Learning Center and LCMSU, that they would be places where people learn about you and your great love for them. Lord, in your mercy. These and whatever else you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord's Prayer, page 196. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Page 201. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace.